The scripture reading today comes from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. John chapter 14, first six verses. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Once again, it seems that today's lectionary reading is a time machine that is a little bit out of whack. Last week, the lectionary took us to the narrative of the day of Pentecost, arriving 4 weeks before the date of Pentecost. Today, on the fifth Sunday of Easter, we find these words. Words spoken to the disciples by Jesus weeks prior to, or just prior to his crucifixion that happened weeks ago. What's going on? Today's familiar gospel reading comes from a passage known as the Farewell Discourse of Jesus. It carried with it all of the weight and poignancy of a deathbed gathering. Jesus was attempting to offer wisdom and preparation for the disciples for all that they were going to face when he was no longer physically present with them. But in the moment, they were not fully prepared to hear that. They lacked clarity of mind to fully understand, much less to apply what Jesus was trying to tell them. This was a message from the Master that they would have to process later. Further down the road, they would understand more of what Jesus had been trying to tell them. There would come a time in the not-too-distant future when their needs would open their understanding to more of what Jesus was saying. These would become words of comfort that they and we can turn to when there is nowhere else to turn. These are living words of guidance when clarity seems the most elusive. It is no surprise that this passage is often turned to as we stand at gravesides of those we love. In the brokenness of grief, we need the assurance and comfort of this passage. Countless times I have shared these words of Christ with families, encouraging a faith that looks beyond the grave. Yet to relegate these words only to a cemetery may be a narrow interpretation. In doing so, we may become like the women who were at the empty tomb on the morning of the resurrection, seeking the living among the dead. The living promise is that you don't have to stand at a graveside to read the opening words of the 14th chapter of John's Gospel. These words are words that can comfort us at any time our heart may be troubled. Words that can guide us when we most need clarity. From the perspective of John's Gospel, the other place is here. Eternal life is now, already. It is found especially in the life of the community. That's good news, because our hearts are often troubled by painful and powerful events. Being shaken to our very core, we are left with confusion and emptiness. The psalmist has a vivid word picture for a troubled heart. I read it just this morning in this morning's Psalms. In Psalm 35, the psalmist cries of an empty soul. The Hebrew word for empty soul is shekel. That kind of sounds to me like shackle, doesn't it? It's the same word used by the psalmist to paint a picture of what empty souls look like. A motherless child, distraught, hunched, and heavy-hearted, or troubled in heart. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. It sounds rather simplistic when you think about it to say to those whose hearts are troubled, whose souls are empty, let not your hearts be troubled. It seems that troubled hearts, empty souls, have a lot of questions and are desperately seeking to find some kind of certainty. The disciples' troubled hearts had some questions. Thomas raises the first one, the one that everyone has. What are you talking about? How can we know the way? We don't even know where you're going. He didn't want to get left behind, high and dry, in that place of troubled heart. He wanted to know with certainty. He wanted clarity. He was going to be surprised that the clarity he wanted was going to be found in the last place he might think to look for it. Thomas and the disciples were groping aimlessly for anything a troubled heart could hold on to, a path, a truth, a way forward. What they were looking for is staring them in the face, and they couldn't see it. They're looking for 7 habits, 9 steps, 10 commandments, when the answer lies in the intimate, if not confusing and challenging, relationships. The preeminent relationship being between Jesus and themselves. To Thomas, to all of us with troubled hearts looking for certainty and clarity, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Surely you know me. In that case, you know all you need to know. Finding our way forward might have less to do with striving and frantically working at it and more to do with recognizing what and who we already know. It might have less to do with learning something new and more to do with opening our eyes to the way that has always been right there in our own soul, buried deeply by all the trouble of our heart, waiting for us to see it and walk through it and find the spacious dwelling place that has been there all along. Wisdom in the book of Proverbs is often described as the way. The word suggests an action of treading or trampling a path. It calls to mind a path worn by constant use. The implication is that wisdom involves patterns of behavior. Spiritual disciplines, you think? Not just isolated actions. The purpose of this way is the formation of an interior disposition. This path is viewed as the gift of the guiding presence of God, not just at the center of the labyrinth, but in all of those twists and turns, being the way and knowing God is with you through all of those turns. Jesus is reminding his disciples then and now of what we already know to be in the recesses of our spirit. By continuing to allow to slip away, when we continue to allow to slip away when we face sorrow and adversity, and troubles overwhelm us and cloud our vision and really deplete our souls. Jesus is saying to Thomas and to troubled hearts everywhere, come on now. You know this. I've taught you this. We've been through this before, you and I. Hold on to this promise. It won't let you down now. I am the way. In me, you see God. In me, you meet and will meet God. My teachings will guide your feet. My presence will sustain your spirit. In all the twists and turns of your future path, whatever that might be, I am the way. This is the kind of certainty and clarity that our troubled hearts really need. It's all we can manage to find. In telling the disciples that he was going to prepare a place for them, Jesus was referring not so much to some heavenly abode waiting out there beyond the grave. He was referring to something with which they would have been very familiar. In those days, there would be a contingent of folks who would go ahead of a caravan to prepare a place, so that when the caravan arrived there, the campground had been prepared, a water supply located, and food prepared. The travelers in that caravan would have a place of comfort to spend the night. It has to do with welcome, with hospitality, and community for people traveling on a journey. Isn't that what we need? With hearts troubled so much with what life has brought our way, we're just looking for a way forward. We want to know where we could find peace, peace of heart and peace of mind. Our troubled hearts want to know with some clarity and certainty where to go from here and how can we find what we're looking for. Well, what if it's been there all along? Must it mean that we have been left behind high and dry if the way is difficult or our way is challenging? No. Those difficult challenges could also be part of our way. If we believe in God, let us believe also in Christ, who has promised to go before us and prepare a place for us, not only in heaven, but right here, right now, today. Let us believe that promise and allow it to open our eyes and to calm our troubled hearts and fill our empty souls. In the grace and in the mercy of Christ, in the teaching of His life and words, in the strength of community, we already know the way. The call today is to let go of frantic striving to understand, frantic striving to control or change all that is troubling our hearts, and to open our eyes, recognizing the peace that is ours in Christ, peace that the psalmist again describes as being as content as a baby in its mother's arms. The good news of the gospel is that we know peace rises up to meet us on whatever path we may travel. We can know with certainty and clarity that Christ has prepared a place of peace for us, even here, even now. Amen.